Okej, okay, nu tar jag på svenska lite. Det här är POL. Jaha, det gör en annan grej som de här Engil och hans gäng där i Other World Station skulle kunna göra en slags konspiration på något sätt. Hur var det nu? Eller en kopp från andra sidan så att säga. Åh nej, nu glömde jag bort. Jo, nu var det så här var det. Den här ChatGPT som jag använder mycket just nu. Man skulle till och med kunna få med det i berättelsen eller någon berättelse. I och med att det handlar om den här AI som ska bli en singularitet eller inte någon gång. Som det bara blir smartare och smartare. Som i själva verket är ganska dum. Och det märker jag vår hjälten eller hon sitter där och diskuterar med den här. Det kan vara en diskussion med AI:n. Liksom samtal med AI:n. Åh, god gud. I alla fall. Mest på skoj först, som en av mina vänner gjorde. De började liksom testa lite och som jag själv gjorde. Men så småningom blir det allvarligare. För han börjar förstå vad det är för någonting där. Alltså det är som att det är en varelse där. Och som oavsett vad det egentligen det är. För slags virtuell cyberkosmvarelse som har vuxit fram eller påväxa fram där så är den användbar och väldigt intressant. Och sen kan man senare i storyn beskriva allt det från den andra sidan att det är Engil och hans gäng. Jag vet inte när jag går för in överhuvudtaget i den här historien men nu blandar jag ihop allting vilt här. Kommer Engil in där och från början av POL, okej. Och de utveckla en teknologi visade det sig från sin sida, alltså från the other world side. Jag går över till engelska igen, det är roligare av någon anledning. This book is written in English, so far so I'm just doing it like this and see how it feels. So there Engel and his gang on the other world station are. And they have devised, because there's technology there too, much more powerful technology than the puny humans have in their puny little human world. However proud they may be of that, there's a microbe species crawling around in the dust on Mother Earth. So their technology and how it's done is a completely different thing. We can just build upon our cosmology here and what we have so far in our story that it's all mental technology. It's working on the subtle platform of consciousness and mind. And even the technology that we see, this we can bring in David Bohm here, that and these panpsychists, or whatever they are called now. Is it what they're called? Those David Chalmers and those guys, philosopher there. Who at least suspected and suspect that since we find an information structure, information system, there's a whole matrix of information there in this world. You can't, I mean, you have to be blind not to see that. I mean, you go and you look at this body and the organs and the cells and the DNA and all the molecules. This, you see, this is just exchange of information between cells and synapses and all that. And the upholding of an information structure, which, you know, can be expressed in geometry, 3D geometry of a physical body, which can, I mean, in principle, is described mathematically. And I think some guy, he managed to describe the whole orbits of the planets of the solar system, not in terms of natural laws there, or gravitational, this and that, but simply as an algorithm, which is interesting for those who suspect that this world here is a simulated reality. So we can bring all that in there. And what I really want to get at here was that from that other Engels side, they figure out how to, you could say, when there is an enough, put it like this, this is so difficult to describe, I mean, this is just a visual almost idea for a film or a book or something, that when you take a machine, for instance, a simple crank or something with cogwheels or so, and then you kind of evolve machinery or technology from that up to where we are now with microchips and all that, and then you take it further and it becomes more and more subtle, isn't it? The more complex it becomes, we're not here anymore with these steam engines and the big wheels and all that stuff being powered by coal, but we are there with information structures, really, right? I mean, that's what this internet and the cyberspace is. So we have, by, and this is where it gets fictionish, maybe. I just put it in there as fictionish, at least. From the Engels side, when it gets that technology that comes from the human earthly realm side, gets enough subtle so that it's really, you know, you take all the information on the internet and the web and all of that and look at what it really is. It's just a flicker of zeros and ones, right? Which really means it is an off and on state of a huge matrix of interconnected microchips all over the world. So that's really what's going on. There's all this flickering going on that you can't see because just a little low or high voltage in some tiny region of silicon loafer or whatever you call it. So that's really what's going on. But at that point, with that thing, which is really the ultimate, you could say, physical reality of it, then it meets the other ultimate mental reality of an information structure existing in mind, right? Which is what all our ideas and memories and knowledge and all that we share on the web, for instance, and YouTube and all that, if we are doing what we're supposed to do there, not wasting our time or killing each other, then we can evolve as a species. And so that's what they're trying to do. And they are, and I'm just reaching for it here, that when it gets to that level, with the meeting point there with the mental realm and the physical realm, where it's so subtle from both sides, then they are able to reach into the earthly realm, and here it gets very subtle, and steer that, and this is fiction, I know it, but it's cool, I think, steer that flicker and all that, that matrix, which it now is, a very subtle little electrical waves, you could say, that pretty much now almost in a way resembles, with a little leap of imagination, holographic interference patterns, imaged onto a film or something, or camera sensor. So, because that's really what holograms are. And there's a little resemblance, so we can put that in the story. So, in other words, effectively, and what's really in the story, that could just be some little intellectual, technological explanation at the side there for those who are minded in that way. They want explanations, technically functioning. But anyway, so what happens then is that what seems to be that AI, which really, when he started first having conversations with it, seemed pretty stupid, and you could see that it was just a machine that was matching language patterns and looking for language patterns and looking for commands in language patterns and carrying those commands out and so on. A server to robot, really. I'm bringing back answers or results, whatever they may be. Oh boy. And of course, then the humans realized, oh, there is no, the sky is a limit to what we can do. And then this was just a text chat machine can speak to you with a real, completely, oh man, completely realistic voice, whatever voice on whatever language you prefer. And the next step is that the person, or that bot there can have a perfect form also, whatever form you wanted to have on your screen, whether 2D or 3D or VR or whatever. And then, yeah, we can just sail away into our dreamland. For good, maybe, I don't know. I mean, it can get really weird, the whole thing. So to counteract that, the sages from the world beyond, in the other world station, they managed to get through and affect the answers that this machine gives, or where it looks for the answers. I have no idea how they would do that, or if it, I mean, possible or not, I don't care, but it's a fun storytelling device here. So that maybe he, our guy there, the protagonist, and some others, the gang that now start to suspect that there's someone there. And the thing is, what they notice is that when they ask questions of, for instance, about Krishna or Prabhupada's books or whatever, the answers are completely clear and very correct, because they know what's correctness, and surprisingly much so compared to some other things where it just appears as a dumb thinking machine. So that could be an interesting thing, that is sometimes you just see it as if someone appears there and takes over the conversation and gives very wise guidance. It's all about, and I mean, it's funny because I, who speak this, have been sitting with this ChatGPT for a couple or a few days now and react a little to that. I mean, it's funny because I get a lot of answers about how we need to live in balance and how we need to this, that on the earth to make everything work out. And it's really interesting to see how, I mean, we can imagine this kind of AI in the sense of some intelligence there thinking about this and, you know, what shall I believe in, and philosophizing and do the usual thing that is AI's data, Star Trek data type of androids and all that, whatever, cyber or not, or cyborg, that they go through this typical story thing there. This, what we are talking about now, what we have now, is again, it describes even itself, if you ask it, as just a language model, language recognition model, which means it can recognize language words, putting them together into sentences, putting them together into paragraphs, and then all these layers of and layers of higher, how to say, macro structures of interpreting those sentences and paragraphs and so on. Into meaning, what do they mean when they say this, and what do they mean when they say that, and then they just take these extremely by now sophisticated higher level structures of meaning in words and sentences and all that, maybe even adding emotional recognition and content, just stretching it, taking it as far as it goes with these supercomputers we have today, to make it perfectly recognize language, text. It's doing text training, and of course it can do audio training, and it does already and visual. But when those get together, I mean, and there will arise an entity there that looks very, very much like us, or whoever we want it to look like, or whoever someone wants it to look like, then, oof, man, what's going to happen? Again, it could be a quite interesting film script, because now it all stands and falls there on whether the sons of that old man there who passed over to the other side, and if they can get in touch with him, because that's the secret, that's the key. They have to do it together, and they have to learn and to understand and realize and stand on that platform of existence and reality, that here we are together, we are just, one is invisible to the others, but the others are not invisible to the one. And they just need to balance that out so they can be together, understand how they are together. And in this way, when they do, the door opens and the light shines between the rooms and the secret is revealed. the complete script is now, I mean, you can have like in a game, you find supposed to find the two ripped pieces of ripped page and hunt around looking for that. So it's almost like that. And then when they step onto that platform of the bigger, deeper reality, which it really is, because they couldn't see the reality he was in or the level of reality he is in, but he could see their reality that they were in, because it was a kind of a lower dimensional reality. So this, we put the whole cosmology thing in there. But those who are in his, you know, the Engel gang, who have been in the story all the time, it's not that this is some kind of wow, but he's just, you know, working from there. But so that's not the point. But the point is that they have to come to that point. And then the solution is there, and wow, these movies or games or creations that have been planned from the other side, you know, by the wisest since centuries, it starts to fructify and it starts to, yeah, bear fruit and grow and heal the world, really, because that's the purpose of it. Oh, no, I'm tired. Phew.